My meditation is my reflection. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited, Absolute Monastery, and a lot of other good stuff here in Campo, California, bringing you Bible stories. My meditation is my reflection. Think about how your meditation is your reflection. How do you live your life, and how do you act upon the things that are important to you in life? How did the master teacher act upon things that were important in his life? In his life, he lived as a very special fellow because he felt good about himself from the very beginning. He was a warehouse of infinite awareness, infinite knowledge and wisdom and harmony and beauty. And as a youngster, he expressed this in his family, and his family didn't understand him because they long forgot the fact that he was born in a very special way, announcing to the world that here was a very special being. And it's interesting. There are many very special beings in our world, and some of them are demonstrating things that we think are very peculiar. Recently, there are stories in the news about people who have wonderful abilities. They can recall anything from any point in time during their lifetime and remember all the details, remember the day, remember the hour, remember the people involved, remember the experience that they had, the accident that they had, the healing that they had, remember the sports games that they were watching, and then know the team scores for everybody else in that entire area. And they remember it just as though they had the book in front of them with all that information. And we think this is so spectacular. Well, these are people who have that little opening in their inner consciousness that says, look here, this is just something of what's inside of me, something of what's available to me, something of who I am, and isn't it exciting, isn't it wonderful? And Jesus said, oh, you don't know the half of it. You don't know the half of it. Jesus was a young man, and he was playing with his buddies and having a good time. And they were invited to go to a wedding feast. And at the wedding feast, Jesus' mother was there, and they ran out of wine. They ran out of wine, which was a very important part of the wedding feast. And so the host said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need more wine. The people keep coming and everything. And so Jesus' mother remembered that Jesus had some special geniuses about him. And so she went to Jesus and she said, Jesus, create some wine for the wedding. And Jesus says, Mom, I do that at home, and I create wine for the table, and I create wonderful other things. But Mom, I'm not a circus performer. Mom, please don't ask me to do that. And his mother said, Jesus, I have asked you to do this. Now, please do it. We are guests at this wedding, and we are going to do our best to make the wedding a happy time. Well, Jesus said, okay, Mom. He was an obedient child in many ways, and obedient to his mother even when it wasn't his desire to do so. And so he said to his buddies, okay, come on, over here. And they went over and they saw these jugs of water. And they were from the well, and pure and beautiful jugs of water. And Jesus said, all right. And then he looked at the jugs of water, and he said to them, you now are the finest wine that we have ever enjoyed in this area. You are the finest wine. And as he said that to the wine, nothing happened. And his friends then took the jugs of wine to their host. And the host said, what is this? And the boy says, it's wine. And the host says, oh, come on now. Where'd you get this wine, you know? Where have you been hiding it, you know? And the boy said, well, it was sitting right over there by the wall, you know. But that's just water that we brought in from the well. wine? Well, come on, taste it. Now, the boys hadn't tasted it yet. And so the host took his cup and dipped it into the into the jug and took a sip and said, "Wow, this is okay." And so all of the guests were served at the wedding with this wine, and they said, "Holy cow, this is great stuff. Hey, host, how come you saved the best wine for the last part of the wedding feast? My goodness sakes, this is delicious." And with great enthusiasm and gusto, the guests at the wedding feast drank the wine that had been brought to them, which formerly, only a moment before, was beautiful well water, and now it was the most delightful wine they had ever tasted. Now, was that water in that jug, or was it wine? Did Jesus have that wine brought forth before because he knew his mother was going to ask him to do it? And so he had that setting there just like jugs of water so no one would taste it because they all wanted the wine. No. Jesus knew that whatever he called a thing, that is what it was. And Jesus was very careful. He was very careful not to call anything that he did not want it to be. And so he looked at the wine, at the water jugs, and he said to himself, "These are wine." And out of his infinite power, the infinite revelation, revealing of himself, he said, "Wine," and it was done. He said to the dead, "Arise, you only sleep." He said to the ill, "You are now whole and perfect." When they were asked for money, and they had no money to give to the tax collector, he sat there and put his hand down into the sand and brought forth a valuable trinket that was given to the tax collector, and it paid the taxes. You see, we have this wonderful ability that my meditation is my reflection. And so as Jesus stood there and meditated upon the jugs, he saw them filled with beautiful wine. Now, what kind of wine would a spiritually illumined master have in his consciousness? Would it be a wine that was alcoholic? Would it be a wine that was limited in any way? Wine is wine. Wine is an alcoholic drink. No matter whether you like to think of it that way or not, that's what it is. And so when Jesus, the Master, was asked to bring forth something, he meditated upon the jugs, and he saw the jugs filled to the brim with wine. Now, he didn't go the second magic route, the second revelation route, of seeing the jugs filled with wine and never empty. Now, wouldn't that have been a kick in the head? My goodness, if he had done that, people would have really thought something strange had taken place. They might even become fearful of the wine and try to dump it out and try to get rid of it because it was not natural, it was not real. But they didn't know that it was his reflection, the reflection of the purity of the mind of the Christ consciousness in Jesus, that brought forth the wine. Now, in our world today, we live these Bible stories in a very real way, and we carry them out in a very real way, and we do many magical, wonderful things with the power of our meditation, reflecting in our world what we see, believe, know, and have. The minds of these people who can come up with this infinite information at call, there's not many of them of record, but there are four or five of them who have been recorded and who have been told, talked about, and they're quite wonderful. And can you do that? Of course. Can we do everything? Of course. But do we think we can't? And of course. When we think we cannot, we do not. when we think we can, with all our heart and soul and being, with it, when we reveal that we can, then we not only can, we do. And as we do, then we are taking our meditation in its highest level of reflection. And that which I think upon is mine. It is done to me according to my belief, according to what I think about, according to what is important for me. Jesus did many wonderful things in the Bible stories that we read. And many of these things, if they're looked at and from one point of view, seem miraculous, and from another point of view, they're quite common. And we would like to have it be quite common in our life to do all of the things that we have the capacity to do, to let our meditations indeed be our reflections, be our revelations in life. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.